The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, those Monday night football games ended up being two ass kickings, not even really close at all. Beginning with that, the game New York Jets versus the Miami Dolphins. The final score says it was close, but it was not close at all. It was all Miami all night. They got the win 27-21. They were looking really solid on the defensive side of the ball. They were causing some turnovers, causing some issues for the Jets offensively. And then offensively, they were able to just get enough going to get the scores that they needed to get the win in the end. Tua Tagovailoa went 17 for 25, 177 yards and two touchdowns. And then Achane had 99 yards and a touchdown on the ground. And then Darren Waller, you know, he hasn't, he retired last year, but came back for this year. And there he was, scoring two touchdowns in this game for the Dolphins. So big win for them, but they did end up losing Tyreek Hill to a huge injury. Basically, his leg was in another direction, so obviously he is going to be out for the rest of the season. So sucks for Miami, but they still got the win. And then the second Monday Night Football game was the Denver Broncos versus the Cincinnati Bengals, and it was all Broncos all night. They got the win 28-3. Bo Nix, 29 for 42, 326 yards and two touchdowns. And J.K. Dobbins went over for 101 yards in this game, and this is the first running back in the Sean Payton era to actually go over 100 yards as his time as a coach, so that's actually a big deal for them. But they were able to just absolutely dominate the Bengals on this one. The Bengals weren't able to get anything going on the offensive side of the ball. They were just in such disarray. And because, I mean, Joe Burrow really does mask a lot of the problems that they have, especially with the offensive line and the no ground attack. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins can only do so much. And then their defense is just mediocre at best. So, I mean, they're just not having a good season. But Denver rolled in this one. So moving on to my top 10 NFL power rankings for this week, we do have a number one. I did have to move a team up to number one this week because they actually have proven that they are the number one overall team to me. And then we just have a little bit of shuffling here. And then a team I actually am starting to believe in a lot more now than I was at the beginning of the season. So let's get right into it. Our new number one this week should come as no shock to you. It is the Philadelphia Eagles. They are 4-0 on the season, and really the reason why I moved them up above the Buffalo Bills finally this week is because of their strength of schedule. They've actually beat better teams than the Bills have so far, and really, even though they could have lost those games easily, so what? They keep winning. They keep winning just like they did last year, and I'm just going to keep on saying it until something drastic happens. Honestly, I kind of feel like this team's probably on their way to at least to a playoff berth, simply just because they're still talented, still really good, and still shove you around. But they also still have Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley. And basically, unless one of those dudes gets injured, this team is probably just going to keep on winning. So I had to move them up to number one this week, just specifically because of their strength of schedule, as opposed to the Bills. The Bills have mostly beat up trash cans for the most part. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, it is the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 4-0. So you can see these are the only two undefeated teams in the league left. But like I said, with the Bills, they're just really just beating up on garbage teams other than the Baltimore Ravens. But for the most part, they're getting wins, and they look really solid, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Well, defensively too, but offensively, Josh Allen having another fantastic year, 964 yards through the air, 7 touchdowns. And then James Cook, 401 yards and 5 touchdowns, and just an all-around solid offensive play for them, but also all-around solid defensive play from them. And I expect the Bills to keep on rolling as well. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Detroit Lions moving on up this week. They're 3-1 on the season, and it's really just because you could tell that after the first game where they got their asses beat, they are now back to the same old Detroit Lions. They are blowing everybody up offensively, defensively. They're taking care of business. Amon-Ra St. Brown has 307 yards and 6 touchdowns on the season. Aiden Hutchinson's back from his injury. He's already got 2 forced fumbles and 4 sacks on the season, so he seems to be getting stronger each and every game. But overall, as a defense, they have 14 sacks total, which is huge. So they're getting it done offensively, defensively, and they look like they are just ready to kick your ass every single game. And even though they started off the season slow, the Detroit Lions are back to their old ways. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Los Angeles Chargers, overall record of 3-1. The injuries are really starting to pile up for this team, especially on the offensive line, and that's going to be a big deal because Herbert, just like every quarterback, is going to need some time. I mean, you can only do so much if you're running around, and at some point you're either going to get injured or just throw a bunch of interceptions, and that's what happened to Herbert last week. He was just running around for his life. Because this offensive line is just decimated with the injuries right now, so they're definitely going to have to try and overcome that, as well as the ground attack. It's still very shaky, in my opinion. I don't think they've really stood out in the ground department just yet. But defensively, they look pretty solid, they're still a good team, so I expect them to keep rolling. I just think that loss against the Giants was really the Giants have a solid defense, and we're just able to get at Justin Herbert, and that's what you got to do to get at this Chargers team. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Overall record of 3-1. You could see that it's very nice to have Chris Godwin back in this lineup for Baker Mayfield, even though it doesn't really matter. I kind of feel like Baker Mayfield can turn any garbage can wide receiver into a really solid wide receiver, even though he does have a lot of talented receivers. Speaking of Baker, he does have 904 yards on the season and 8 touchdowns and only 1 interception, so he's really... not making bad mistakes, and even though he did make a bad mistake for that interception in this last game, that was pretty much it. But other than that, the dude's been able to make comebacks for this team. Defensively, they look really, really good, and like I said, offensively, they've got a lot of spark, so I just kind of expect the Tampa Bay Bucs to keep on rolling, especially because they are in a garbage can division, so they should get some real easy wins over the course of the season. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, this is the team that I am now starting to believe in, because after a month of football, they actually look like a legitimate football team, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Overall record of 3-1, and they're really just starting to gel offensively and defensively. I mean, to start the season defensively, they were very quiet. They weren't the same Pittsburgh Steelers defense, but they were getting the wins because of the offense and Aaron Rodgers. Now... I knew when they signed Rodgers, they were getting a solid quarterback. He wasn't coming here to pussyfoot around. He was really coming here to win a championship. But I didn't know if they had a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball other than DK Metcalf. He has completely made me a believer in this offense because the ground attack is now finally starting to get going. Offensive line doesn't look too terrible. They're able to keep him standing upright. And him and DK Metcalf are really starting to get going as well. And even without Metcalf... he's really Calvin Austin starting to be a guy who rises for him, and he's really starting to make this offense really gel, really look good. And then, like I said, on the defensive side of the ball, they are starting to look like the old Pittsburgh Steelers. So I'm really starting to believe in this team because you take a look at the rest of their division. Right now, the Baltimore Ravens not playing good football at all, and then they've got all the injuries piling up on their side. So are they just going to have a treacherous season where they're just injury riddled? Then you have the Bengals, basically the same exact thing, and Joe Burrow is pretty much done for the season, if not the whole season. He won't be back till like December. So by then, season's probably going to be pretty much done for the Bengals, especially with what they put on display for Monday night. And then the Browns are just a terrible ass team, so you kind of look at it, and the Steelers are pretty much poised, primed, and ready to take over this division. But, I mean, we do have a lot of football left to go, but with the first month of football, Steelers are dominating the AFC North. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Los Angeles Rams, overall record of 3-1, and this team is strong. On the offensive side of the ball, Matthew Stafford's got 1,114 yards passing, 8 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions on the season, so he's had a very efficient season to start. And Puka Nacua, 503 yards and a touchdown, and that 503 yards already leads the league. in receiving yards. So they're really getting it done offensively. And then, of course, Davante Adams is fitting right in. He's had some big games himself. And then Williams in the backfield. So offensively, they look really solid. And then, of course, the defense, Byron Young has 5 sacks already on the season. So you can tell they're getting at the quarterback. And I kind of feel like the Rams are going to grow and get better as the season goes on. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Indianapolis Colts, overall record of 3-1, Jonathan Taylor has come right out the gate and is having a fantastic year with 414 yards on the ground rushing, which leads the league in rushing, by the way. So when Jonathan Taylor is healthy, as I told you, he is a force, and him leading the league in rushing is nothing new because he's done it before. He also has 3 touchdowns on the season, and then Daniel Jones having a very efficient year. He's got 1,078 yards passing and 4 touchdowns on the season. And has really made this, he's really provided a huge spark to this offense, because I kind of feel like Richardson was a little bit loosey-goosey with the ball, whereas Jones kind of feels like he's more of a pocket quarterback who will run when he has to run. And he seems to be really finding his way with these receivers, and of course with Taylor in the backfield. And then of course defensively, I really like what I see from this Indianapolis Colts team. They're really getting at the quarterback. They're really causing some ruckus, and you know, they've got a nice solid lead in this this very weak division of theirs. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 3-1. And to me, this is one of the most surprising teams, because you never know if you can actually believe in the Jaguars. You know, of course, they picked up a few guys in the offseason. They have a new coach, so things are a little bit different here. But defensively, they are really, really good. They've already got 9 interceptions and 5 forced fumbles on the season. They lead the league in turnovers, just in general. So they really are just getting at the quarterback. They're really causing turnovers when they have to, and that's what's really keeping them in the games. And then now, offensively, you can kind of tell they're starting to gel, starting to click. So probably as the season wears on, they're probably going to get better as well. But one person who is having a phenomenal year to start is ETN in the backfield. He's got 394 yards and 2 touchdowns on the season. So they're really starting to put it together, and they are in a weak division just right there with the Colts. So I kind of feel like these two are going to be battling it out, and then who knows, maybe the Texans will arise towards the end of the season. But I feel like these two will battle it out, and we'll see who's the real one between the two. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 3-1. It's really just because of this defense. This defense is really suffocating. I kind of feel like the two most underrated defenses in the league that nobody's really talking about to me are the Jaguars, who I just talked about, and the Seattle Seahawks. Just not a lot of people, I think, are realizing them, because I don't think a lot of people take the Seahawks seriously, even though they're 3-1. And honestly, I don't take them that serious either. I kind of feel like they're going to fall apart as the season wears on. But hey, they're 3-1 right now, and part of the reason why is this defense is suffocating. They have 12 sacks on the season and 7 interceptions already, so they really are playing some excellent football on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, they've had their moments where they've exploded for a lot of points, but they've also had their moments where they just are terrible on the offensive side of the ball. So they really haven't found an identity offensively, but defensively, they are pushing everybody around and playing some pretty solid football right now. Moving on to our Thursday night football matchup this week is actually a good one. It's going to be the San Francisco 49ers at the Los Angeles Rams, and usually this is an excellent matchup. Now, unfortunately, it looks like there's not going to be Brock Purdy again this week. He did play last week, but it looks like he's not ready to go this week with that toe injury. So right now the Rams are a 5.5-point favorite. And like I said, the Rams kind of feels like every single game they're getting better and better. And even though Matthew Stafford, kind of the story of his life, is just running around and getting his ass kicked, but he still stays in the game and still is slinging the ball all the way till the very end and playing a high level of quarterback, even though he's getting his ass beat, doesn't matter. He has so many weapons on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, between Nacua and Davante Adams, it's just really pick your poison. And then, of course, you got Williams, and it's like, so you really could go any way with this offense. And then, like I said about the defense, they are very scrappy. And I kind of feel like in this game, it's going to be, usually this is a close matchup and it might start out close, but I kind of feel like after halftime, the Rams are just going to lock in and start to pull away from the 49ers in this one. I feel like their defense is going to kind of have the Niners running for their life. Mac Jones is not really a mobile quarterback, so I kind of feel like he's going to be on his ass all night and they're really just going to target him. And then offensively, I just don't think they're going to have any issues, because defensively, the Niners aren't playing that well, especially now with Bosa out. So I do have the Rams winning this one 28-17. Then we also had the baseball playoffs begin yesterday. So let's cover all the game one matchups. We actually had a couple of game twos already end as well, but nobody has moved on to the divisional round yet. As a matter of fact, we have two game threes coming up for sure tomorrow. So let's start off with the first matchup in the American League wild card between the Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians. In game one, the Detroit Tigers got the win 2-1. Tarek Skubal pitched a gem, went 7.2 innings pitched, and had a record 14 strikeouts. That's a Tigers record for the playoffs and strikeouts, and he was really just on some. I mean, he gave up one earned run, and he was so pissed off at himself. And then after that, it was just he was mowing everybody down. But then in game two today, the Cleveland Guardians turned it all around. They got the win 6-1 and tied everything up. But it was all Guardians all day. They pretty much came right out the gate, got the first run, and then in the eighth inning, they really opened everything up and then basically just ended the game right there. So we are headed to a game three, all tied up, and so whoever wins game three tomorrow is moving on to the NLDS, or the ALDS, sorry. Then the National League wild card matchup between the Chicago Cubs and the San Diego Padres. Game one was taken by the Cubs 3-1. Kelly and Suzuki had back-to-back home runs, which basically sealed the deal for this game. And then in game two, San Diego got the win 3-0. They just absolutely dominated today. Cease, he started the game and had a phenomenal four innings, and then they just pulled him after four innings, which I thought was weird, but their bullpen was able to hold it down and really give up no runs. Really, Chicago just had a very poor day offensively, but now this series is all tied up, and we will have a game three tomorrow in Chicago to see who moves on to the NLDS. And then the American League wild card series between the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. Game one went to the Boston Red Sox 3-1. Garrett Crochet pitched the gem, but also Max Fried pitched the gem as well. Both of them really weren't budging at all. And then it was just really, they removed Fried, and then the Yankees bullpen basically just got blown up after that. They did load the bases in the ninth inning, but it was all for naught because the Red Sox were able to hang on and take game one. And game two is currently on right now. It's on a commercial break, but last I checked, it was tied at two. So we'll see what happens with this series if we end up, if it ends up going into a game three tomorrow, or if the Red Sox move on to the ALDS. Then game one of the wild card series, National League wild card series between the Dodgers and the Reds, ended up being the only ass kicking yesterday, which is no surprise. But it was the Dodgers kicking the ass of the Reds 10-5. Otani had two home runs, three RBI. Teoscar Hernandez had two home runs and four RBI. Blake Snell pitched a gem. And game two will be tonight in LA. And I wouldn't be shocked if they just go ahead and sweep that one out tonight, but who knows, maybe the Reds will step it up and make it a series, but I kind of feel like the Dodgers are going to be moving on to the NLDS, but we'll see where we're at on Friday once we hit the division series. And then rounding out today's show, we have the AP College Football Top 10 rankings, and we actually do have some movers and shakers because we had a lot of upsets this week. Basically, every team that was up for upset this past week got upset. We had a lot of craziness. And, you know, like I said, I warned y'all about Alabama. I already told you. I was like, yes, they're not the same Alabama that we're used to, you know, that team who kicks everybody's ass. But stop overlooking them. You should never, ever overlook Alabama. And here they are. They are back up in the AP College Top 10 this week. So let's do a rundown of the College Top 10. We have number one remains Ohio State at 4-0 because they had a bye week this week. So no movement for them. Number two, though, was big movement, up four spots at 5-0. We have Oregon because they took down PSU over the weekend, 30-24, and Penn State, they were number two, so obviously you move Oregon up because that's a big win for them. Biggest win of the season for Oregon, hands down. I mean, they've pretty much been overlooked because they've been beating up a bunch of tomato cans so far, and that was their biggest win of the season, so they definitely needed that. Then at number three this week, we have Miami. They are 4-0 on the season. They're coming off of a bye week, and they will be at number 18 FSU this weekend. Oh, and the Yankees are actually up now 3-2 in the top of the sixth inning right now. So we'll see. Maybe we'll have a game three tomorrow, but there's plenty of time for them to choke. But Rodon's pitching. Hopefully they keep Rodon in the whole game as long as he can go. Anyways, back to the AP College Football Top 10. Number four moving up big this week, moving up nine spots. We've got Ole Miss moving up. They are 5-0 on the season, and the reason why they moved up so high is because they took down LSU this week, 24-19, so got the big win. That's Ole Miss is another team you should never overlook. They always have the power to come out and just give you this weird win, and wouldn't be shocked if they just keep on winning this year. But it is the SEC, but 5-0 and a big win over LSU. Then at number five is Oklahoma. They are 4-0 on the season, and they're coming off of a bye. Number six, Texas A&M. They are 4-0 on the season, falling all the way from number two to down to number seven this week is Penn State after that loss to Oregon. They are 3-1 on the season. At number eight on the AP College Football Top 10 is Indiana. They are 5-0 on the season. Number nine, Texas Longhorns, 3-1 on the season, and rounding out the AP College Football Top 10. Like I told you, do not overlook this team. That would be Alabama. They are 3-1 on the season, moving up seven spots because they took down Georgia 24-21. So like I said, do not overlook Alabama. Not expecting them to win a national championship, but hey, they make that college football playoff, and that's probably a team you don't want to face off against in the first round. But who knows? There's a lot of college football to go. But like I said, this past week, a lot of teams got decimated. There was a lot of movement. It's exactly why I wasn't freaking out about that Longhorns' first loss of the season against Ohio State, because I knew a lot of other teams were going to start to crumble, and because the SEC is just going to beat each other up, too. As you can see, Ole Miss taking out LSU. And I feel like it's going to just be keep on moving throughout the rest of the season. Like I said, Alabama taking down Georgia. And then it's like all these teams do face off against each other at some point. Then you've got the SEC championship. And so there's a lot of college football left to go. But there is a lot going on. And this past week was a huge, huge weekend because it changed the trajectory of this week's rankings. And that's like what I said. I feel like everybody's probably going to suffer a loss at some point. And I'd probably rather suffer it at the beginning of the season rather than the end of the season when it matters the most, when you're trying to get in the playoff and you just can't afford a loss at the end of the season. But who knows? We'll see where we're at. But it's only October and we still have a lot of college football left to go. As a matter of fact, the great thing about October is we have all of the sports about to coincide because we have pro football. We have college football. We have baseball. Not only do we have baseball, but it's playoff baseball. And then we also have preseason basketball starting this weekend. So it's going to be a great time for a sports fan for the month of October because we're going to have all of the sports going at once. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.